I was going to say, well, wait, don't give the preacher the mic. Well, okay, we'll wait. We'll wait. We had a beautiful week this week. I've been sick off and on a lot the last month or so, and so I'm just really grateful to be here this morning. And amen, right? Yeah, so my youngest son, I think it was last week or the week before, I don't remember, he moved out of my house. Our house, not my. I know, he's like, yay, break the plate, and I'm a little bit in a different place about it. But yeah, I just, you know, when you go through a change like that, then there's this kind of like, okay, well, what's our next season hold? What does God have for us in this next place? So, you know, so we're looking and listening. We're not looking to make a change. I don't want anybody to get worried like we're staying. I just, you know, what does God have for us during that time? I'm excited to look into that and find some new things. I had an experience yesterday praying with a friend, and it was really interesting to go into, it was a place, and we kind of walked through this place and just prayed through each of the rooms. And man, that's a great thing to do. I know we talk a lot about, Mark talks a lot about the voice of God and hearing the voice of God. And I think an experience like that in prayer, just that dependence of listening and hearing, you guys are strong prayers, you know, to hear his leading in that and to be able to intercede for people, like what Leah was doing when she's talking to her friend about Jesus and everything that Jesus has done. What a powerful thing to be able to do. And I just love, I loved that experience yesterday. It was incredibly, incredibly beautiful. So are you, all right, run. Okay, there you go. Nick, how are we doing? We're up and running? Okay. So let's stand. If you wish, you may stay seated if you wish, and we're going to go ahead and sing to him this morning.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my to those around.
trust in you alone. I will not be shaken. Amen.
In my ear tells me that I'm fearless. He shares a melody, tells me to repeat it. Oh, and he makes me whole. He reminds my soul I am more. He says I am,
thank you so much that we can speak with the confidence of those who belong. We are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. If we have chosen you, if we have invited you, God, we are children of the King. And I am all he says I am. I am co-heir with Christ. I am more than a conqueror. His power is made perfect in my weakness. Jesus, we thank you for these and thousands of other promises. Thousands of other promises. We thank you, God. Amen. The song here we're about to sing, one of the lyric is, I have to find it now, something about thousands, in the chorus. Be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. Scripture talks about the blessing of a thousand generations for those that love God. And so I think sometimes I'm sure you may have picked this up in churches whatever you've experienced, but there's like this push me pull you thing with music sometimes. I want the hymns. I want the new stuff. You know, Scripture talks about singing a new song to the Lord, and then these are the songs I grew up with, right? I think every song that God inspired is a good song, right? So his blessing exists out of time. And so we're going to be singing a couple hymns this morning, and I feel like when we do that, I just believe that we're like, let's pull down the blessing of a thousand generations. Let's sing the song that he gave them. Let's sing the song that he gave us. Let's just be dependent on his blessing always.
Come to join the song, sung long before our lives, to raise our voice along, heaven and earth alive. We've seen your faithful mercy without end, the King who bled and died, a God who sacrificed. To be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations, you are worthy. Our voice in heaven singing worthy, Lord of all through this life we lead unto eternity, our endless praise we cry, Jesus be glorified. Praises of a thousand generations, you are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice in heaven, singing worthy, Lord of all. So be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations, you are worthy. Lord of all, and unto to you, the slain and risen King. We lift our voice in heaven, singing worthy, Lord of all. So be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice in heaven.
We don't know the start note. Give us just a second. We did this in practice this morning, too. I was like, why are we in that? We're in different keys. There we go.
There it is.
All right, let's lean into it, guys. Let's lean in. Okay.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my salvation, perfect delight, visions of rapture, numbers on my sight, angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song.
the next, this next song is called Be Thou My Vision. It's an excellent, just a beautiful prayer that he would be our focus. He is our wisdom. He is our foundation. He is our source for everything. And as I was thinking about this, I'm going to talk about you a little bit, okay? You're up here. What are you going to say? No? So that's not true. I know. This is my daughter, and she's carrying her first little baby. Yes. So we've been talking about the impending transition from the womb and kind of how to manage that. We've been talking about, and the thing that the first advice I got when I was trying to do this myself is, you know, when you start to have one of these pains, you pick a point, you pick a focal point, keep your eyes open. If we close our eyes, we try to turn into ourselves, right? Keep your eyes open and pick your mark and then carefully breathe, focus, right? And I thought, what a beautiful picture, because of course this is a painful situation. And how many painful situations are we in? We need to pick our mark. He is our focal point. He is the one. Don't close your eyes. Don't internalize. Don't get stuck in the wheel, right? Open your eyes. Find your mark. Be thou my vision. Be thou my vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. High King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun.
And thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, thanks for the transition. I'm glad you're all here with us. Okay, there we go. these things are said, and God gives you funny things to think, it's not always a good thing. So when Devon's up here, find your mark, I'm like, you found him. So I know, that's corny. I wasn't a lot of help with on that first delivery. I was kind of freaking out, so I don't think that was a good thing to focus on. So you need to find other things to focus on during that time. But so we are in our journey of Philippians, and I don't know, man. It's hard to say every time if you guys have been listening to me talk for any length of time, oh, this is my favorite verse, or this is my favorite passage. I don't know. I say it about all the Word of God, but it's alive and it's active and it should be all our favorites. Amen. You guys can talk to me, by the way. That's a good thing. Not you. But this morning we are in Philippians, and we're just going to look at one verse this morning, and we'll look at some other verses as well in light with it. But I hit this verse, and it's a familiar verse probably to a lot of us, but Father just really slowed me down in it. And it really, in the things and what all of us are going through right now in our current climate of our country and our world, what are you sure of? What are you sure of? I mean, what can you bank your trust, your faith, everything on? Is there anything outside of God? I mean, we can try to think, well, I'm sure 10 minutes from now we'll still be listening to Pastor Mark ramble on and on. Maybe not. Maybe I'll quit early. I'll shock you all. I won't. I'm just saying. Hypothetically. Right? Well, we can say, I'm sure in 10 minutes it's still going to be sunny. Well, maybe. Clouds can roll in. Right? We have these things that we think we're sure of. But at the end of the day, what can we really be sure of? So here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I love this verse. And here's Paul saying, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Man, if you don't have any other verse in the Bible but this one, would this not bring you some hope? Yeah. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. That means it's not about us. Now, do we have a piece and a part in this journey, in this life the Father has called us to? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, as we'll see here in some of the scriptures we're going to be looking at, it's really not about us. And we've made that a catchphrase. It's not about you, and we get that, and we make it a joke, and we think it's silly, or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, if we really dive into this truth, this reality, that we can be sure of this one thing, that if we are a child of God, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So those days that you think you screw up, and those days that you do screw up, those days you mess up, those days you say something sideways to your wife or your husband or your kids or your coworkers or whatever it is, when the enemy's jumping on your back and go, man, well, you're such a loser, right? Does anybody else have those days? Or is that just me? Right? And you can say, get off my back, because he who began a good work in me is the one that's completing it, not me. It doesn't depend on my getting this right all the time. It's because of who he is in me that brings us to completion. And as I was thinking about this, and Father was bringing me to other scriptures, he brought me to Psalms. I love Psalms. Psalms, you could marinate in Psalms forever. All right, Psalms chapter 38. And I love how when you're thinking about things and thinking about scripture and you're talking to other believers, he gave me another scripture yesterday as I was thinking about this in light of that he who began a good work, but we'll get there in a moment. But Psalms chapter 138, Psalm 138 starting verse 6, for the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. Man, is that words of comfort? Nobody? Okay. It's comforting me. I love that I can walk in the midst of trouble, and he preserves my life. Some of us are walking through some pretty hard things. I know in this room this morning, some of you are walking through some really trying things in your life. And I pray this morning, this is words of encouragement, that he's the one that's preserving your life. He's the one that delivers you. Verse 8, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Verse 1 of 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know me when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. He who began a good work, this God that we serve, this God that we talk about, this relationship that we get to have, this is just not even a snapshot of the power that we get to walk in. I mean, really think about who we are. Think about the protection that we have. I mean, I love living in the United States, even as busted as she is right now. But go back 10, 20 years. It was a pretty amazing thing to be an American, right? You go around the world, and for the most part, it's a pretty amazing thing to be an American. People are doing everything they can to get here. Why? Because we've sold this thing. It's you can come and you can become anything you want to be. And for the most part, that's true if you work hard enough, right? Or at least it used to be. But here, so much better is being a child of God and being part of his kingdom, which is so much greater than anything we will ever face here. Right? And we're so much protected by him. So this good work that he began in us, and we're going to see here in a moment where that began. But he's been protecting us, and he knows us, and he searches us, and he knows us. He knows us when we sit down, we rise up. I don't really like it that he knows all my thoughts, because sometimes my thoughts aren't that good. You guys awake this morning? Okay. I'm just wondering. But I love that I can have this kind of relationship with my Father, because I know that he knows me, and he loves me anyway. We say that to a lot of people, I'm going to love you anyway, but when things get really sideways and they start doing things we really don't like, it's a lot harder to continue that love for them, is it not? But he continues to love us anyway. He knows us better than we will ever know ourselves. And he protects us before and behind. He lays his hand upon us. And really, that knowledge is really too wonderful for us when we really think about where we get to live as his child. Man, it really should overwhelm us. If you've been here for any length of time, you know I get kind of weepy at times and get overwhelmed by who God is and the power of his word. I'm not sorry everybody has to cry. That's not everybody's gig, and I get it. I didn't used to be that way. Father's got a sense of humor. He's like, I'm going to make you a preacher, then I'm going to make you cry. This is going to be awesome. Right? And I love who Father is. As we drop down to verse, and this is the verse this Father gave me as I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday in light of message. You know, I wasn't even thinking about this, although this is some of my favorite verses here. Psalm 139, starting verse 13. I can talk. For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none. That passage of scripture wrecks me every time I read it. When you think about the intimacy of God, when you think about he who began a good work, it starts there. The good work that he started and you started the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, that moment that he, you know, just think about the imagery of him knitting you together. You know, I love talking about how he spoke things into existence. He spoke this world into existence, but he formed Adam. He made Eve. He continues to knit us together intentionally, intimately. Every single one of us. You want to talk a powerful witnessing piece? This is true for the people who will reject him to the day they die and go to him, hell. He still knit them together in their mother's womb. So when we think about this good work that he began, what is the good work he began? What's the purpose of this good work that he's continued to complete until the day of Jesus Christ? It's for us to tell this good news to the world. They have a Father who loves them. Do not think that our world needs to hear that today. Do not think that the people in the churches sitting in pews and chairs today need to hear this. I'm telling you, they do. Father has been wrecking me over the last couple of weeks about, it's nothing new, but just more amped up about who his bride is and who she is not. I think she's forgotten what we're looking at this morning. They're not sure that the good work the Father began in them, that he's completing it. I think they've forgotten. I know there's been moments in my life that I have forgotten the good work that Father had started in me the moment I was conceived in my mother's womb, the moment that little girl was conceived, both of them, by the way. I can't wait till she's here, just like I couldn't wait till she was coming. I remember those moments. And the good work and the dreams I had as an earthly father for my daughter and for my kids are nothing compared to the good works and the things that Father has in store for me to do and yet to do and for all of you to do, by the way. I love that. Nothing was hidden. Intricately woven, knit together. It's an old saying someone said long ago, and I love the thought of it. Before the world was created, he had your picture on his fridge. It's not mine, I heard it a long time ago. But think about that, right? We put all our kids' artwork on our fridges and fill them up with pictures of family. But think about that. Our minds can't comprehend this infinite God that can think about past, present, and future, and past being long before Earth was ever around. Who knew all of us would be in this room this moment at this time, talking about how good he is, talking about how he's the one that completes everything. One more scripture real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting verse 11. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by whose power? If you got your Bibles there. Oh, Nick, you're failing me, brother. By his power. So that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're thinking about this good work that he began in us. And here in 2 Thessalonians say, for every resolve, he makes us worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. Again, it's about him. Him doing the good work. It's him. He's the one that's making us worthy of the calling that he's put on our life. When we think about calling, we think about preacher guy, right? You're called to be a preacher, and you better be called to do this, right? If you're not called to do this, please do something else. Anything else. Trust me, you don't want to do this job if you're not called to it. Amen, Pastor Mike. Amen. And I'll leave that alone because I'll get on a soapbox. I don't want to go there, right? But we're all called to do something. We're all called to be part of his story. You guys are called to minister people I will never, ever meet. And that's a good thing. Right? But he's the one that's called. He's the one that will make you worthy. He's the one who will fulfill the resolve for good. And every work of faith is coming by his power, not our exercise of faith. Do we have a piece in this? Yes, but here's the piece I want you to walk away with. It's about him. It's about him completing. It's about him knees together. It's about him. He's the one that started this whole thing, and he's going to complete it. It's all about his power, and I love that fact. That's not just a good idea. That's not just a nice little thing that we can say. That's the reality that we as believers in Jesus Christ get to walk in. And I'm telling you, if we continue to really, if we really step into this and we really believe this and we really want to change the culture of our current situation, our current world, it needs to start inside the walls of the churches of America and the world around the world. I'm telling you, it's not going to change by getting out there and jumping up and down about political things. It needs to change inside of our hearts first and foremost. It needs to change how we interact with our family of faith here in this place. Are we going to get serious about doing the work the Father has called us to do, or are we just comfortable by doing the same old, same old? I love having interactions. I get opportunities to interact with, I get to interact with people who don't know Christ every week, but I have these moments in time where I get to interact. And this week was no different. So I got to interact with some people, and they will probably never come to this church. I keep praying for them. I keep telling them, hey, we'd love to have you come. But in the job that they do, they reference me as their preacher. And I love it. It's going to mess up a lot of people and the things that they do. But I love having this interaction with those people and being stepping into their world and stepping into this place that these people have no idea who God is by sitting in this environment, and you watch these people desperate for what we have. That I think for I'm just preaching to myself right now, that for so long I have partaken for granted, and I'm done taking it for granted, people. I don't take for granted what God has given me anymore. I don't want to get comfortable. I want to get uncomfortable. I want Father to continue to push me into places of uncomfortability and have to rely on his power, his words, his thoughts, his everything to get it right, because I'll mess it up if I don't go in with that attitude. And I'm talking about wherever I'm going. Walking into a grocery store. Are you there just to get your food and get out, or are you there in anticipation of the encounter that God might give you with the checker or somebody in the aisle or whatever? I know a lot of us like to go and get out. We're on a mission. We got to get our four things, and we're out the door. I go in for one thing, I come out with a grocery cart because I'm wandering up and down the aisles talking to people. I'm like, oh, that looks good. Let me put that in the cart, right? My kids know, right? Where were we somewhere yesterday, and you, was it you that was with them? And we were like, maybe they're here for you to talk to them, Dad. Was that you? Wasn't you, obviously. Oh yeah, we were at Lowe's, and I couldn't find the primer of all things, you know, for paint. And Emily's like, "Well, maybe you're supposed to go talk to the cashier, Dad, and go talk to him." Okay, thanks, kid. Right? But I love that. I love that my daughter's like, "Look, my dad wants to talk to people. I don't care where he's at." And I get that's not everybody, right? But what is Father asking you to do? Do you think I started wanting to do this? If you could go back and see my 18-year-old self, it wants to terrify you, and you'd be like, we don't want him anywhere around talking to people, and you couldn't pay me enough money to talk to you anyway, right? So I'm saying, when you step into this journey, this calling that Father has on your life, he's going to call you to things you're like, I don't know about, I think that's the devil's voice. I don't think that's God's voice, right? And sometimes it is, right? But I'm just saying, when Father starts to stretch us, And he calls you to go talk to those people you would never talk to in, on your own impulse. Take that moment. I guarantee you it'll wreck your life. It will absolutely wreck your life. And here's the thing. You don't have to. I talked about this a couple weeks ago, the encounter I had with a homeless man a couple weeks ago. I had that encounter, and it absolutely wrecked me in that moment. But it wasn't this call to go, you know, start a homeless mission. It wasn't this thing that every time, I see homeless people all the time, every single day. You drive anywhere in this town, you see them on a, by a stop sign or whatever, right? There's no compulsion to feed them every time I go drive them. In that moment, that's what Father asked me to do. And if I'm not in this place of listening, if I'm not in this place of understanding that he is completing this thing in my life, I'm going to miss out those opportunities. I'm just going to go to my, through my day, day in, day out, and I'm going to miss out on this work that Father has called me to do. And I can be sure of this. Those days I'm having doubts, those days I'm exhausted, those seasons I'm wore out, I come back to this and I am sure of this, that it wasn't a mistake that Father called me when I was 18 and I ran for a lot of years. It wasn't a mistake. He still called me. He still called me to do this good work. He began it, and he is bringing it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So until the day I draw my final earthly breath, I want to be on this trip. But I'm not designed to do it alone. We are designed to do it together. And I guarantee you, I know. Well, I'll leave that alone. Because I'm going to get on a soapbox. But I want us to just walk away this morning with this thought. What is the good work the Father has called you to do? What has he called you to do? What has he called you to step in? What areas is he stretching you to step out in faith that he is empowering, by the way, to do this work? So really, there's no risk to us when you think about it. There's no downside to entering into this kind of relationship, this kind of understanding, this kind of operating system. That I am completing this work. God is completing this good work in me. And all I have to do is like, man, where do I sign up? Show me how to, let me see, let me hear, let me complete the task that you put in front of me every single day. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you began the good work. You began the good work the moment we were conceived, that moment you knit us together in our mother's womb. You began that good work. And from that moment to this moment now in time, you are completing that good work. So, Father, as we as your children sit here this morning, as we leave here in a few moments, Father, that you would continue to stir in our hearts and our minds the words that you have spoken this morning. And may we just step into that. An amazing calling on our lives. Father, if that's not clear for us this morning, Father, may we talk to those that we trust their life. I would love to talk to anybody that wants to talk about that. And that we're praying for each other about how that looks. Father, it's all for your honor and your glory this morning that we ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to close with communion this morning. I'm just going to read here out of 1 Corinthians. Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. So if this is your first time with us, or you haven't done communion with us, our only requirement, if you will, is that you are a child of God this morning. And we'll have two stations up here, and just come up and take the cracker and the juice and then go back to your seat and take it when you're ready. This is a personal time between you and God. So once you have your elements, just take them back to your seats, and then we'll pray afterward. So, Ellie, Brian, you want to take this side? So when you're ready, just come on up. Oh, yeah, I guess we can. Wife has always reminded me. Let's pray over the time of communion. Father, again, we just thank you for this moment that we get to remember. And I pray this isn't the only time we remember your sacrifice, Father, Jesus. That's something that's part of our thought process, that we wouldn't be able to be here without the shed of your blood, Jesus, that covered all of our sins. And we read about that, but we can't comprehend what that is. So, Father, may we be reminded, and Jesus, may we never forget what you have done. And that you continually sit at the right hand of the Father saying, I covered that. I paid for them. So we come this morning just remembering in Jesus' name.
always thank you for the time. I think we just come here today.